In the spring of 1949, the streets of London bustled with post-war recovery and the promise of new beginnings. Amidst the clamour of reconstruction, a small, unassuming bookshop on Charing Cross Road held a hidden treasure, Eldritch Books, owned by a meticulous book dealer named Arthur Pembroke. Arthur Pembroke was a man whose life and legacy extended far beyond the ordinary bounds of historical scholarship. Born into a modest family, Arthur's early years were marked by a fervent curiosity about the world and a deep-seated passion for learning. His formative education was characterized by an insatiable appetite for knowledge, particularly in the realms of ancient manuscripts and religious texts. This passion propelled him into a distinguished academic career, where he made significant contributions to the study of ancient languages and historical documents. Arthur Pembroke's most notable work involved his extensive research into various rare and ancient manuscripts. He had a particular interest in religious texts, and his expertise in deciphering ancient languages made him a sought-after scholar in the field. His dedication to preserving and understanding these historical treasures earned him respect and admiration among his peers. Arthur's meticulous methods and insightful analyses shed light on many obscure aspects of ancient history, contributing valuable knowledge to the academic community. Beyond his professional accomplishments, Arthur Pembroke was known for his profound personal qualities. He was a man of great integrity and humility, often attributing his successes to the collaborative efforts of his colleagues and the support of his family. His commitment to his work was matched only by his devotion to his family and community. Arthur was deeply involved in various philanthropic endeavors, always seeking to use his expertise and resources to benefit others. Arthur's legacy continued through his family, who inherited his passion for knowledge and his commitment to preserving historical artifacts. His work and values left a lasting imprint on those who knew him, and his contributions to the field of historical scholarship remain influential. Arthur Pembroke's life was a testament to the impact one individual can have through dedication, integrity, and a love for the pursuit of knowledge. Arthur Pembroke was also a devout Christian. His faith was a cornerstone of his life and influenced his scholarly pursuits and personal values. Arthur's commitment to Christianity was reflected in his work, especially in his studies of religious texts and manuscripts. His deep understanding of ancient religious documents was not merely academic, it was intertwined with his spiritual beliefs and devotion. Arthur approached his research with a sense of reverence and a desire to uncover and preserve the sacred knowledge contained within these texts. His faith also guided his ethical considerations and his interactions with others. He saw his work as a way to honor God and contribute to a greater understanding of divine teachings. This spiritual dedication helped shape his legacy, making his scholarly contributions both significant and deeply meaningful. Arthur, a man of impeccable taste and quiet determination, had spent decades building a reputation for sourcing rare and valuable volumes. His shop was a labyrinth of leather-bound classics, first editions, and forgotten manuscripts. But his heart was set on one prize, a legendary set of rare books known as the Scribe's Collection, reputed to contain manuscripts by some of the greatest minds of the Enlightenment. The Scribe's Collection had been the subject of rumor and speculation among bibliophiles for years. It was said to be housed in a private estate owned by a reclusive aristocrat, Lord Reginald Ashcroft. Arthur's sources had informed him that the estate was to be sold, and the books were rumored to be included in the auction. Lord Reginald Ashcroft was a renowned British scholar and antiquarian, celebrated for his extensive work in historical manuscripts and rare books. A prominent figure in the academic world, he was known for his meticulous research and deep expertise in ancient texts, particularly those with religious and historical significance. Lord Ashcroft was a key figure in the study and preservation of historical documents, and his contributions were highly respected in scholarly circles. He was also known for his expansive private library, which housed many rare and valuable manuscripts, including those from significant historical periods and cultures. His library was considered one of the finest private collections in the world, reflecting his passion for collecting and preserving ancient texts. Lord Ashcroft's work was instrumental in advancing the understanding of various historical and religious documents, and his legacy in the field of manuscript studies remains influential. Arthur arrived at Ashcroft Manor with a mixture of excitement and trepidation. The grand estate, shrouded in ivy and silence, stood as a testament to a bygone era. He was greeted by the estate steward, Mr. David Farley, who led him to a grand library filled with dust-covered tomes and the scent of aged paper. Lord Ashcroft's library was a testament to both architectural splendour and scholarly pursuit. Nestled within the grand Ashcroft Manor, the library was a sanctuary of knowledge and history, blending elegance and intellectual gravitas. The library's entrance featured intricately carved wooden doors, adorned with heraldic symbols that spoke of the Ashcroft family's long and storied lineage. Upon entering, visitors were greeted by an expansive room filled with a warm glow of vintage chandeliers, their light reflecting off polished mahogany and walnut shelves that reached from the floor to the ornate, coffered ceiling. Each bookshelf was meticulously organized, with sections dedicated to various disciplines, including history, literature, science, and philosophy. The spines of countless leather-bound volumes, many of them rare first editions, gleamed under the soft illumination, inviting readers to explore their contents. A rolling ladder on brass rails allowed access to the highest shelves, adding a touch of old-world charm to the room. In the center of the library, a large antique oak table served as a workspace. Its surface was often cluttered with open books, manuscripts, and quills, evidence of Lord Ashcroft's ongoing research and insatiable curiosity. Surrounding the table were plush leather armchairs, their rich, dark hues complementing the room's stately decor. At the far end of the library, a grand fireplace, framed by an intricately carved mantelpiece, provided warmth and a cozy ambience during the colder months. Above the fireplace hung a portrait of Lord Ashcroft's great-grandfather, the original founder of the library, his stern gaze seemingly watching over the room. Tall, arched windows with heavy velvet drapes lined one side of the library, offering a view of the sprawling Ashcroft Estate Gardens. During the day, natural light streamed in, casting a golden hue over the room and creating a serene environment for reading and contemplation. Scattered throughout the library were various artifacts and curiosities collected by Lord Ashcroft during his travels. An ancient Greek amphora stood proudly on a pedestal, while a medieval suit of armor was positioned near the entrance, adding a sense of adventure and history to the space. In one corner, a globe from the 18th century, beautifully crafted and detailed, invited visitors to spin it and dream of distant lands. Nearby, a display case housed rare manuscripts and historical documents, carefully preserved and protected from the elements. The library also boasted a hidden alcove, accessible through a concealed door disguised as a bookshelf. This private retreat contained Lord Ashcroft's most prized and sensitive volumes, including forbidden texts and confidential records, known only to a select few. Lord Ashcroft's library was a testament to both architectural splendor and scholarly pursuit. Nestled within the grand Ashcroft Manor, the library was a sanctuary of knowledge and history, blending elegance and intellectual gravitas. The library's entrance featured intricately carved wooden doors, adorned with heraldic symbols that spoke of the Ashcroft family's long and storied lineage. Upon entering, visitors were greeted by an expansive room filled with a warm glow of vintage chandeliers, their light reflecting off polished mahogany and walnut shelves that reached from the floor to the ornate, coffered ceiling. Each bookshelf was meticulously organized, with sections dedicated to various disciplines, including history, literature, science, and philosophy. The spines of countless leather-bound volumes, many of them rare first editions, gleamed under the soft illumination, inviting readers to explore their contents. A rolling ladder on brass rails allowed access to the highest shelves, adding a touch of old-world charm to the room. In the center of the library, a large antique oak table served as a workspace. Its surface was often cluttered with open books, manuscripts, and quills, evidence of Lord Ashcroft's ongoing research and insatiable curiosity. Surrounding the table were plush leather armchairs, their rich, dark hues complementing the room's stately decor. At the far end of the library, a grand fireplace, framed by an intricately carved mantelpiece, provided warmth and a cozy ambience during the colder months. Above the fireplace hung a portrait of Lord Ashcroft's great-grandfather, the original founder of the library, his stern gaze seemingly watching over the room. Tall, arched windows with heavy velvet drapes lined one side of the library, offering a view of the sprawling Ashcroft Estate Gardens. During the day, natural light streamed in, casting a golden hue over the room and creating a serene environment for reading and contemplation. Scattered throughout the library were various artifacts and curiosities collected by Lord Ashcroft during his travels. An ancient Greek amphora stood proudly on a pedestal, while a medieval suit of armor was positioned near the entrance, adding a sense of adventure and history to the space. In one corner, a globe from the 18th century, beautifully crafted and detailed, invited visitors to spin it and dream of distant lands. Nearby, a display case housed rare manuscripts and historical documents, carefully preserved and protected from the elements. The library also boasted a hidden alcove, accessible through a concealed door disguised as a bookshelf. This private retreat contained Lord Ashcroft's most prized and sensitive volumes, including forbidden texts and confidential records, known only to a select few. Overall, Lord Ashcroft's library was more than just a collection of books. It was a living, breathing testament to a lifelong dedication to knowledge, exploration, and the preservation of history. It was a place where time seemed to stand still, allowing its visitors to immerse themselves in the wisdom of the ages.
"Mr. Pembroke, I presume,"
Farley said with a nod.
"The collection you're interested in is in the study at the end of the corridor. Lord Ashcroft's wishes were quite clear. The collection must go to a worthy custodian."
Arthur's heart quickened. He walked past rows of shelves, each more impressive than the last, until he reached the study. There, on an ornate oak desk, lay the scribe's collection. The books, bound in deep green leather with intricate gold embossing, gleamed under the soft light filtering through the high windows. Arthur Pembroke approached the scribe's collection with a sense of awe and reverence. The collection, housed in a specially designed room within his estate, was a treasure trove of ancient texts and manuscripts that had been meticulously curated over generations. Each item was stored in climate-controlled glass cases, preserving their delicate pages and intricate bindings from the ravages of time. He began his examination with a quick survey of the room, his eyes scanning the rows of cases filled with illuminated manuscripts, early printed books, and hand-copied scrolls. Arthur's fingers hovered over the protective glass, tracing the outlines of intricate calligraphy and elaborate illustrations that adorned the manuscripts. The scent of aged parchment and leather filled the air, a testament to the history contained within these walls. Arthur selected a particularly intriguing manuscript, a beautifully illustrated medieval text. He carefully opened the case and gently lifted the book, handling it with white gloves to protect its fragile pages. As he turned each leaf, he marveled at the vibrant colors and fine detail of the illuminations, wondering about the skilled hands that had crafted such artistry centuries ago. Moving on, Arthur examined a series of ancient scrolls, their papyrus and vellum surfaces covered in an array of scripts, from Latin to Greek to Hebrew. One scroll, in particular, caught his eye, its worn, weathered appearance hinting at its great age and possible significance. As he unfurled the scroll, he noticed the meticulous handwriting and the faint ink that had stood the test of time. He could almost feel the presence of the scribe who had painstakingly copied each word by candlelight. Arthur's examination was thorough and methodical, as he made notes and cross-referenced the items with the collection's catalogue. He was searching for any clues that might link the newly discovered scroll to these ancient texts. With each artifact he studied, Arthur felt a deeper connection to the past, and an increasing determination to unlock the mysteries that lay within the scribe's collection. As Arthur examined the collection, his fingers traced the embossed titles and delicate engravings. His eyes sparkled with admiration as he flipped through the pages, revealing handwritten notes and annotations from renowned scholars. Each volume was a masterpiece of intellectual achievement. Just as Arthur was about to finalize his purchase, a shadow fell over the desk. A woman, elegantly dressed in mourning black, entered the room. Her name was Evelyn Ashcroft, the Lord's estranged niece. She had been away during the estate sale, and now she was there to ensure her late uncle's wishes were respected.
I hope you're here for the right reasons, Mr. Pembroke,
Evelyn said, her voice cool but not unkind.
These books were my uncle's pride and joy. They meant more to him than any treasure.
Arthur's eyes met hers, and he saw the same reverence for the written word that he felt. He explained his passion for preserving rare books and his commitment to finding a place where they would be cherished and studied. Evelyn listened intently, her expression softening. After a moment of contemplation, she extended her hand. Very well. If you truly believe in the importance of these books, I will trust your judgment. They are yours. Arthur accepted the books with gratitude and respect, knowing that he had acquired rare volumes and honored their legacy. He promised Evelyn that the scribe's collection would be placed in a special exhibition at Eldritch Books, where it would be accessible to scholars and enthusiasts alike. As he left Ashcroft Manor, Arthur felt a profound sense of accomplishment. The scribe's collection would not only enrich his store but also inspire future generations. The rare books had found their rightful home, and Arthur had fulfilled his lifelong dream. The story of the scribe's collection became a cherished chapter in the history of Eldritch Books, a testament to the enduring power of knowledge and the dedication of those who seek to preserve it. Arthur returned to his shop and put the manuscripts on his work table. He relished the moment. Tomorrow would be a good day. He would spend the rest of the year with these manuscripts, poring over them, analyzing them, and looking into the past history as if he had been there himself. He would document them, write about them, and then publish works about the manuscripts. Arthur was meek and humble. He was in it for the history, not for fame or fortune. Arthur Pembroke approached his analysis of the scribe's collection with a meticulous and scholarly demeanor. Armed with magnifying glasses, delicate brushes, and archival tools, he transformed his study into a makeshift laboratory dedicated to the preservation and understanding of ancient texts. He began by cataloguing each item in the collection, ensuring that every manuscript, scroll, and book was documented with precise details. Arthur took high-resolution photographs of the artifacts, capturing their physical characteristics and any unique features that might be relevant to his research. These images were then compared with existing records and databases to identify any previously undocumented items. Arthur employed a combination of traditional and modern techniques to analyze the texts. He used ultraviolet light to reveal hidden writings and annotations that were invisible to the naked eye. The faintest ink traces and marginal notes, often overlooked by less thorough researchers, became visible under this scrutiny, providing valuable insights into the history and use of the manuscripts. To further understand the provenance and age of the documents, Arthur conducted careful ink and paper analysis. By examining the composition of the ink and the fibers in the paper or vellum, he could estimate the time period and geographical origin of each piece. This scientific approach allowed him to authenticate the texts and assess their historical significance. In addition to the physical examination, Arthur delved into the content of the manuscripts. He translated and transcribed texts written in Latin, Greek, Hebrew, and other ancient languages, cross-referencing them with known historical events and literary works. This intellectual endeavor required a deep understanding of linguistics, history, and theology, fields in which Arthur excelled. One particular scroll, worn and ancient, captivated his attention. Its script was unfamiliar, filled with cryptic symbols and a language that seemed to defy immediate understanding. Arthur spent countless hours poring over this scroll, consulting with experts in ancient languages and scripts. His initial attempts at translation suggested it contained riddles and clues, possibly leading to hidden knowledge or treasures. Throughout his work, Arthur maintained a detailed journal, recording his findings, hypotheses, and the questions that arose. This journal became a comprehensive account of his journey through the scribe's collection, documenting not only the artifacts themselves but also the insights and connections he uncovered along the way. Arthur's dedication to analyzing the collection was driven by a deep sense of purpose and a desire to honor the legacy of his ancestors. The scribe's collection, with its wealth of ancient wisdom, was more than just a scholarly pursuit. It was a bridge to the past, connecting him to the minds and lives of those who had come before. Each discovery brought him closer to unraveling the mysteries held within these precious texts, and to understanding the profound significance they carried. Arthur worked for months on the manuscripts and compiled reams of documents as he sorted through them. He was happy and content with his work. He understands he'll never be famous, but he didn't care. He wanted to be part of history and wanted to be the person that published these works to the world. One morning, Arthur was in his workshop, sorting and organizing the books. He went to put one of the books on a shelf, and another, small manuscript fell out from the larger book. It was several folded pages. He returns to the book on the shelf, only to find more folded pages. The pages he unfolded, but they were not sorted. This would be his work for the day, unfolding them carefully and sorting them into proper order. He found more pages and carefully lay them out. All in all, there were about 12 pages laid out in what appeared to be 16 major sections. Most curious. What were these? The documents were written in Greek. Arthur Pembroke's translation of the scribe collection yielded remarkable results, breathing new life into ancient texts that had long been shrouded in obscurity. His work uncovered forgotten historical events and cultural insights, offering a treasure trove of knowledge to historians and scholars. The translations garnered widespread acclaim, leading to renewed interest in the original manuscripts and sparking further research. Arthur's contributions also enriched public understanding, as the newly accessible texts were published and shared with a broader audience, enhancing appreciation for the historical and literary heritage preserved within the scribe collection. He realized, these weren't just letters or daily living documents. They were special. The beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, just as it is written in Isaiah the prophet, "Behold, I am sending my messenger before you, who will prepare your way," the voice of one calling out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea was going out to him, and all the people of Jerusalem, and they were being baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. John was clothed with camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist, and his diet was locusts and wild honey. And he was preaching, saying, "After me one is coming who is mightier than I, and I am not fit to bend down and untie the straps of his sandals. I baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And immediately coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opening, and the Spirit, like a dove, descending upon him, and a voice came from the heavens, "You are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased." Arthur found one of the pages, and it was written in another language, Aramaic. It preached the process of sanctification, where believers are made holy and conformed to the image of Christ, driven by the Holy Spirit. "The disciples and whomsoever possess this book shall be granted the power of prayer, and whatever is asked in his name, with pureness of heart, shall be granted, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son." Arthur Pembroke's reaction to the Aramaic translation of the scribe collection was a mixture of profound awe and immense satisfaction. As he carefully traced his fingers over the delicate, ancient script, he felt a surge of connection to the distant past. The translation represented not just a scholarly achievement, but also a bridge to the world of the original authors, whose thoughts and prayers were now vividly accessible. The intricate beauty of the Aramaic script, with its flowing lines and historical depth, stirred something deep within him. He marveled at the language's ability to convey the sacred and the eternal, and he felt privileged to be among the few who could truly appreciate its significance. Arthur had always harbored a deep appreciation for ancient languages, viewing them as keys to unlocking the mysteries of bygone eras. The Aramaic translation of the scribe collection was particularly special to him, given its spiritual and historical importance. As he read the words, "The disciples and whomsoever possess this book shall be granted the power of prayer, and whatever is asked in his name with pureness of heart shall be granted, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son," he felt a profound sense of reverence. The power and promise contained within those words resonated deeply with his own faith and scholarly pursuits. This moment was more than an academic milestone for Arthur, It was a personal triumph. The meticulous process of translating the scribe collection had been arduous, requiring not only linguistic expertise but also a nuanced understanding of cultural and historical contexts. Seeing the final Aramaic text was a testament to his dedication and perseverance. He felt a renewed sense of purpose, knowing that his work would preserve and share the timeless wisdom of these ancient texts with future generations. Arthur's excitement was palpable as he prepared to share this achievement with his peers and the broader community. He envisioned the impact this translation would have on historians, theologians, and anyone with a passion for the past. The Aramaic version of the scribe collection would offer new insights and spark further research, enriching the collective understanding of historical and religious narratives. Arthur was eager to see the translation published, believing that it would inspire others to explore the profound legacy of the texts and the language in which they were originally written. In the quiet of his study, surrounded by manuscripts and books, Arthur took a moment to reflect on his journey. The Aramaic translation symbolized the culmination of years of study, dedication, and a deep-seated passion for preserving the past. He felt a profound sense of fulfillment, knowing that he had played a part in bringing the ancient wisdom of the scribe collection into the modern world. As he closed the manuscript, Arthur's heart swelled with gratitude and anticipation for the discoveries and dialogues that lay ahead. Arthur had a profound sense of gratitude to God for allowing him to acquire the book. Quietly, he prayed a prayer of gratitude and thankfulness for permitting his humble self to receive such a prized collection. The significance of the scribe collection weighed heavily on his heart, and he felt immensely blessed to be its custodian. In the stillness of his study, he bowed his head and whispered his thanks, acknowledging the divine providence that had brought this invaluable treasure into his life. The journey to obtaining the scribe collection had been long and arduous, filled with moments of doubt and challenge. Yet, standing at the culmination of his efforts, Arthur could see the guiding hand of God in every step. The ancient texts, rich with historical and spiritual insights, were now in his care, and he felt a deep responsibility to honor and preserve them. His prayer was not just one of gratitude, but also of dedication, promising to steward the collection with the utmost respect and reverence. Arthur's humble prayer echoed with the sincerity of his heart. He thanked God for the wisdom and perseverance granted to him, which had been crucial in his quest. He expressed his gratitude for the opportunity to connect with the past in such a meaningful way, to bring to light the words and thoughts of those long gone. The scribe collection was more than a scholarly achievement. It was a testament to the enduring power of faith, knowledge, and the divine grace that bridges the gap between generations. As he finished his prayer, Arthur felt a renewed sense of purpose and peace. He was profoundly aware of the privilege bestowed upon him and the divine trust he had been given. The scribe collection was now a part of his life's work, a sacred task that he approached with unwavering devotion. In his heart, Arthur knew that this moment was a gift from God, a testament to his faith and the divine journey that had led him here. Now that Arthur had successfully procured the scribe collection, his immediate task was to ensure its preservation and accessibility. The ancient texts, delicate and fragile from centuries of existence, required meticulous care and attention. Arthur needed to establish a controlled environment to protect the manuscripts from environmental damage, such as humidity, temperature fluctuations, and light exposure. He carefully catalogued each document, noting their conditions and any immediate conservation needs. Arthur also recognized the importance of making the scribe collection accessible to scholars and the public. He began the painstaking process of digitizing the manuscripts, creating high-resolution images that could be studied without risking damage to the originals. This digital archive would not only preserve the texts for future generations but also allow researchers from around the world to access the invaluable information contained within. In addition to preservation and digitization, Arthur focused on translating and interpreting the texts. He assembled a team of experts in ancient languages, history, and theology to help him decode the manuscripts and place them in their proper historical and cultural contexts. Through collaborative efforts, they aimed to publish annotated translations and scholarly articles, shedding light on the significance of the scribe collection. Arthur planned to organize exhibitions and lectures to share the scribe collection's insights with a broader audience. These events would highlight the historical and spiritual importance of the manuscripts, fostering a deeper appreciation for their content and the era from which they originated. He envisioned a series of public lectures and interactive exhibits that would bring the ancient texts to life, engaging both academic and lay audiences in the rich history of the manuscripts. In his heart, Arthur knew that his role as the custodian of the Scribe collection was just beginning. The journey ahead involved not only preserving and studying the texts, but also sharing their profound wisdom and insights with the world. With gratitude and dedication, he embarked on this new chapter, committed to honoring the legacy of the Scribe collection and the divine providence that had entrusted it to him. Arthur knelt in the quiet sanctuary of his study, surrounded by the ancient texts of the Scribe collection. He bowed his head and closed his eyes, seeking a moment of solitude and connection with the divine. In a voice filled with reverence and humility, he began to pray, asking for spiritual guidance from the Holy Spirit.
Heavenly Father, I come before you with a heart full of gratitude for the blessing of the Scribe collection. I am honored and humbled to be its custodian, yet I feel the weight of the responsibility that comes with this sacred task. I ask for your guidance and wisdom as I undertake this journey. Holy Spirit, I pray that you fill me with your presence. Illuminate my mind with clarity and insight as I delve into these ancient texts. Grant me the discernment to understand and interpret the wisdom contained within these pages. May my efforts be guided by your divine light, ensuring that the truths and knowledge of the past are preserved and shared faithfully. Lord, I ask for patience and perseverance. The road ahead is long and filled with challenges, but I trust in your strength to see me through. Help me to remain steadfast and diligent, always seeking to honor and glorify you in my work. May this collection, now in my care, serve as a beacon of knowledge and faith. Let it inspire and educate those who encounter it, drawing them closer to your truth. Guide me, Holy Spirit, in every step I take, so that I may be a faithful steward of this precious gift. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Arthur rose from his knees with a renewed sense of purpose and peace. He felt the comforting presence of the Holy Spirit, guiding and supporting him. With this divine assurance, he knew that he could faithfully carry out the task before him, preserving the Scribe collection's legacy and sharing its profound wisdom with the world. Arthur's acquisition of the Scribe collection had a profound impact on his family, bringing both tangible benefits and intangible rewards. The first and most immediate effect was a sense of pride and accomplishment that permeated the household. Arthur's family had witnessed his years of dedication and hard work, and the successful procurement of the Scribe collection was a testament to his perseverance and scholarly expertise. This achievement became a source of inspiration for his children and grandchildren, instilling in them a deep appreciation for history, knowledge, and the importance of pursuing one's passions with diligence. The Scribe collection also provided a unique educational opportunity for Arthur's family. His home became a center of learning, where family members could engage with the ancient texts and explore their historical and cultural significance. Arthur often shared stories from the manuscripts, sparking curiosity and discussions around the dinner table. His children and grandchildren were introduced to the intricacies of ancient languages, the art of translation, and the meticulous process of historical research. This immersive environment cultivated a love for learning and intellectual curiosity within the family. Furthermore, the acquisition of the Scribe collection enhanced Arthur's reputation and standing within the academic and religious communities. This recognition opened doors for professional and personal opportunities, such as invitations to speak at conferences, participate in collaborative research projects, and contribute to prestigious publications. Arthur's elevated status also brought a sense of stability and security to his family, as his work garnered support and funding from various institutions and benefactors. On a deeper, spiritual level, Arthur's family experienced a renewed sense of faith and connection to their religious heritage. The sacred texts within the scribe collection offered profound insights into the beliefs and practices of their ancestors, fostering a deeper understanding of their own faith. Family members found solace and inspiration in the ancient prayers and teachings, which strengthened their spiritual bonds and commitment to their faith traditions. In essence, Arthur's acquisition of the scribe collection enriched his family's lives in multiple dimensions. It not only brought prestige and recognition, but also created an environment of intellectual and spiritual growth. Arthur's dedication to preserving and sharing the ancient texts left a lasting legacy for his family, one that would inspire and guide them for generations to come.